Beginning Sunday, July 9th at 7 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, Mutual Omaha's Wild Kingdom Special comes back to Animal Planet. This week we are talking to co-host Peter Gross. He's wildlife expert and co-host on the program. Peter, thanks so much for being here.
Nice to talk to you, Will.
Peter, obviously you're often described as sort of the link between the original series and the new series on Animal Planet, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. What or when did you first become interested in wildlife? I'll sort of start from the beginning.
Well, I was very fortunate that I was raised back east in the Hudson Valley, and there was a large piece of property behind our house which was stocked with European and native wildlife. And that was sort of my childhood playground, so I became hooked on nature at a very early age back then. Then went to a school for it in Northern California where they taught animal husbandry and affection training, and then had success breeding, setting up and breeding endangered species for the theme park division of a company that I worked with for years. And just oddly enough, we had the world's largest litter of tigers ever born. There were seven of them, and I ended up taking them on the Johnny Carson show one night, and who was there but Jim Fowler from Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. So that was the beginning of this wonderful career.
Now, Peter, over the years you've established several breeding programs for endangered animals, as well as a rehabilitation program for birds of prey and studies in ecotourism most recently. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think ecotourism is really creating a lot of optimism for animals that are still living in the wild. And although there are certainly problems with encroachment and loss of habitat, this is a terrific time. One of the fastest growing businesses right now in terms of travel is ecotourism. More and more people are traveling to remote countries to view and photograph and learn about wildlife. What's happening as a result of this is we're establishing this nice economic base as tourists visit the company, and there's incentive for local people to want to save wildlife rather than trap and hunt it and ship it out of the country.
Well, I know you have probably a multitude of stories about the original series. Tell us about your experience co-hosting the current Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom on Animal Planet.
Well, actually, the most recent show I did, and I was co-host on the original series, and most of the present-day Wild Kingdom shows, the hour specials running on Animal Planet, are either non-hosted or done specifically with the researchers involved. I was fortunate enough to do a show that ran last year called The Return of the Cheetah, about a friend of mine who was involved with taking cheetahs back to the wild and attempting to release them, which didn't work, but while she was there, found out that there were ranchers that were shooting cheetahs in Namibia, Southwest Africa, really the cheetah capital of the world. And she drove around from rancher to rancher and tried to talk them out of killing cheetahs, and then did some research and found out that for thousands of years in Turkey, herders have been using Anatolian sheepdogs, these 180-pound dogs, to keep wildlife away from their herds. So she has now imported over 500 sheepdogs, gifted them to the ranchers. The cheetahs no longer bother the ranchers' sheep and cattle because they're afraid of this huge dog that barks when they come, and they've saved over 500 cheetahs. So it's a real success story, and that was the last show I worked on for Animal Planet.
Well, it sounds like you've got a lot going on, the ecotourism, the Wild Kingdom show. Anything else you're focused on these days?
Well, mostly what I'm doing now for Mutual of Omaha is doing visits for them. We visit science centers and zoos and senior homes and hospitals and people who can't necessarily get out to see wildlife, and that's one of the more rewarding things that we're doing these days.
You've had an opportunity to watch the show, Return of the Fire Cat, the next Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom special. Tell us about what your take is on it.
Oh, it's a terrific show. It's a wonderful show. It really brings attention to the much smaller panda, the red panda. All the attention is paid to the full-grown Chinese pandas that everybody thinks of and wants to save and has done a lot in terms of preserving them. But this red panda is a very small, sort of unimpressive, but amazing little animal that this show brings public attention to and hopefully will generate a lot of interest about wanting to preserve them.
I understand red pandas are also called fire cats. Why exactly do they have that name? Any other names they're called?
The The name actually implies that, because they're sort of a bright orange with a black underside. And as they dart through the thick vegetation in which they live, you see these flashes of orange that look like fire going through the forest.
Well, the show will obviously give everybody a really good background and an idea of what's going on with these animals. But tell us a little bit about them. Where do red pandas live, and what is their habitat like?
Well, the habitat is up in the Himalayan mountains above 8,000 up to 13,000 feet in this thickly vegetated forest, in these very remote areas that where it gets cold and it snows and it's thick, and it's a very tough place to make a living. This remaining habitat is full of lush bamboo, which is really their favorite food. So they spend most of their time sort of avoiding predators, looking for food in the forest, and roaming about this forest, scent marking with a powerful musk glands and eating grasses and roots and grubs and as much bamboo as they can. But it's in India. You know, this park itself is in India, which borders on Nepal and Bhutan. And there are efforts now to get adjacent countries, because this park has sort of a contiguous boundary that the panda likes to roam, to help save them.
Well, I don't know if this is an easy question to answer, but can you tell us why red pandas are red?
There's no easy way to answer that, other than the fact that as they move through the forest quickly, the underside of their belly is dark, and they are nocturnal. So as you see them out during the dark hours, looking from the underside, you see black silhouette against the black, so they're hard to see that way. And then as they move quickly through the bright vegetation and the dappled light, I think the red helps to disguise them. It also is a good way for its own species to be able to spot it and identify it.
So how are red pandas like giant pandas? Obviously, people might be more familiar with giant pandas, and how are they different?
Well, the red panda is only 14 pounds, and it's actually not a bear. Panda bears, the large pandas of China, get to be 200 pounds and are actually in the bear family. What the thing they really have in common is they live in the higher elevations, and they also like to eat bamboo. But the panda is actually in the raccoon family, and so he's completely separate. And because they look so much like a bear, like a small bear, for a while they thought they'd classify them as bear, and then they look at the whiskers in that face and they thought, well, let's classify them as cat. But DNA studies have shown that they are actually in the same family as the raccoon and the skunk.
Kind of confusing for the average person, I guess.
For me as well.
What's a typical day like for the red panda? Are they pretty, I don't want to say slothful, but do they spend a lot of time eating and just hunting around?
They do. They have to, because there's not a lot of nourishment in bamboo, their favorite food. They spend about 14 hours a day, imagine that, just looking for food and eating. And then they're also marking their territory, because during the time of year when it's breeding season, they spend an awful lot of time just scent marking, trying to attract a male. Then after breeding time, then they go look for a tree with a hole in a natural cavity, and then they spend an awful lot of their time not even eating, but just building this tremendous nest in which to raise their young, with grasses and leaves in this very protected area up on top of the tree.
And you mentioned bamboo. What else are they eating?
Well, they're eating they're eating grasses and roots and grubs, but mostly bamboo.
As far as their interactions, would you say red pandas are social or more solitary?
They're pretty much a solitary animal. They spend an awful lot of time out in the forest by themselves, and they really just attract a mate a very brief period of time, and then they're only together for, they're in a close proximity, say within a half acre of each other for a while, and then actually together during breeding season for just a few days, and then off again on their own.
So have you ever personally encountered a red panda?
No, I can't say I've been fortunate enough to do that. There are so few left, and I haven't been to that part of the world yet. It's just a matter of time.
I would follow up and say, are red pandas endangered? Hopefully we'll all get a chance to see a red panda.
They are. They're very much so because of the habitat loss. But I'm really optimistic, because as you will notice in the beginning of this show, it starts about with a pair of pandas that were actually born at a zoo. Then they were taken out to a small enclosed area halfway up the mountain, where they were watched for several months to see that they were adapting to the wild, and they were doing it just fine. Then they were taken and released back to the wild. And there's nothing more thrilling. I've released eagles and I've released other animals back to the wild, and there's just nothing more thrilling than watch them leave the box, sort of look back, and then head out into the forest, which is exactly what happens in this wonderful show. As long as we create more public awareness about the pandas, which is exactly what's going to happen as a result of this wonderful show, I'm optimistic that since they do reproduce quite well in captivity, that more and more will be able to release back to the wild.
All right, Peter Gross, once again talking to us about the next Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom special, Return of the Fire Cat, premiering Sunday, July 9th at 7 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on Animal Planet. Peter, thanks for talking to us.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.